Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started. Thank you for coming. In the shock of the snow, at least the main roads were good. So we are so excited because Christine Callahan is here, and she had some exciting news that went public yesterday. Christina is the executive director of the Syracuse Regional Airport Authority, and in her role, Christina is responsible for the management and operation of Syracuse Hancock International Airport. Prior to becoming executive director in 2014, Christine was commissioner of aviation for the city of Syracuse, a role that she held since 2011. Christina started her career at the airport in 1997, and over the last 20 years has held a number of positions, including that as public information officer. Most notably in her career, Christina oversaw the $60 million passenger terminal security project and the transfer of the airport from the city of Syracuse to the authority. Christina serves as vice president of the New York Aviation Management Association and is on the board of directors of the Central New York SPCA. Please join me in welcoming Christina Callahan.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Eileen, for that very nice introduction, although I think I'm going to have to rewrite my bio now and add a few more accomplishments to it. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Okay. I know the roads were a little slick, and I didn't anticipate that much snow, but I'm glad you're all here. The pressure is on because we have one of my board members is in the audience this morning, so now I'm feeling a little more stressed than I did when I got here, but I'll get through it. I have a presentation I'd like to give everyone this morning. I really want to talk about more than just the terminal project and the great news that we had yesterday. I'd like to give you sort of an inside look at the airport, which is why I call the presentation SYR, Beyond the Gate. So we'll cover a lot of different things. There may be a quiz at the end of the presentation, so pay attention. And then I would love for you to ask questions when we're finished, or if something comes up while I'm speaking, please feel free to ask me a question. So with that, we'll get started. Syracuse Beyond the Gate. This is a rendering of what our new terminal will look like upon completion of the current project. As you can see, the feature SYR and the exterior, the glass curtain wall, all new components designed to invite people in the terminal and to really complete the vision that we've had for the airport when we finished the security project a few years ago. So during my presentation, I'm going to give you a brief history lesson. I'm going to talk about some of the things that we're focused on and looking ahead. I'm going to cover our organization, talk about the board, management, and staff, go into our operations, airport finances, projects and priorities, our new customer service program, some fun facts and figures, air service development, and my last slide I'm going to leave as a surprise. So a brief history, and I'm only going to go back to 2001 because I could go further back and I could ask Greg Tripoli to actually give us a much more in-depth history lesson on the airport. But I chose 2001 because that's the year that the Syracuse Regional Airport Authority was created, was established. And we began the process of transferring the airport from the city of Syracuse to the Syracuse Regional Airport Authority. The 11-member board was appointed, and there they are. Beth Ruggie is in the audience. Pat Mannion is the chair of our board. Many of you know Bill Fisher, who's our vice chair. Dr. Shukai Chin, he's at the university. We have a number of board members who I know all of you know. They are members of our community, and they bring a diverse and varied experience and knowledge, and they all travel, so they have that experience to bring to us. The Airport Authority established its goals, priorities, and timeline. We established a mission statement. Now, it's a little long, but it's intended to be that way because our mission is intended to spur economic development, travel and tourism, lower rates, introduce new airlines. So we wanted to make sure that it was comprehensive enough. And, you know, as staff, and when we are thinking about our priorities for the year, we go back and we look at the mission statement and we build our priorities around that. We also began construction of our new security checkpoint, which if you've traveled in the last few years, you've experienced, and hopefully that experience has been great. 2012, we tackled our first challenge by assuming responsibility for providing security services at the airport. To do that, we chose to contract those services out and hired a security firm. That resulted in almost a $2 million savings every year just by rethinking how we wanted to provide security in a way that was cost efficient, but that satisfied TSA's requirement and ensured the safety of the flying public. Also in 2012, Delta began direct service to Minneapolis-St. Paul, which at that point was our furthest west city that we served nonstop. 2013, our new security checkpoint opens on May 15th. There it is. This newly designed checkpoint allowed us to not only fully comply with the new screening requirements that TSA was providing, but also gave us the opportunity to introduce programs like PreCheck and different types of lanes. So PreCheck comes to Syracuse, and if you haven't enrolled in PreCheck, if you travel more than a couple of times a year, I highly encourage you to do that. It really saves time. Now, it's not as important in Syracuse, but when you're traveling to some of the other bigger airports like JFK or O'Hare, where they're known for having long lines, PreCheck can help. And there it is. Allegiant Airline enters the market. This would mark the first time in more than 3 years that a new airline had entered the market, and they began service to St. Petersburg, the Tampa area. We selected a new concessionaire, Creative Food Group, and they began to design our new food, beverage, and retail program. I added this bullet because by bringing these agreements to the Common Council, that enabled us to begin the process of submitting an application to the FAA so that we could transfer the airport. And then in 2014, in fact, on March 1st, the FAA issued the airport's operating certificate. Apologies, having a little technical difficulties. And this is an actual picture of the license that hangs in our office that gives the airport authority full responsibility, financial, legal, compliance of the airport. And it says so in this certificate. We also transferred a number of management employees. Now, keep in mind that when the city ran the airport, every employee was a City of Syracuse employee, so we began the process of transferring those employees to the authority. Our new restaurants and retail shops opened. Our most popular restaurant, the Middle Ages Beer Gardens, along with some national brands and the local brands, have proven to be very popular with our passengers. Allegiant brings their second destination to Syracuse by begins serving Myrtle Beach. 2015, because PreCheck was so successful in Syracuse, TSA decided to actually open an enrollment center to make it easier for our passengers to enroll. As of March 30th of this year, more than 17,000 people have signed up for PreCheck. We unveiled our new Emergency Operations Center, funded with a grant from New York State. This allows us to respond and react to any type of emergency in a facility that is designed and provides all of the tools and resources that we would need. Doesn't have to necessarily be an aircraft emergency, thankfully. We've used it in a major snow event. We've used it during the air show. It provides us with an area that has everything that we need to successfully address any type of issue in the airport. We conducted our triannual drill. This is required by the FAA every 3 years. We have to simulate an aircraft emergency. We actually bring a simulator to the airport. It's ignited. Our aircraft rescue and firefighting team, they extinguish the fire. We have victims, we have people, fatalities, and we respond to it in the way that we would in the event of an actual emergency. We're having another one later this year. Allegiant adds their third market out of Syracuse by beginning direct service to Fort Lauderdale. American Airlines upgrades their Boston service with jets, and Delta upgrades their Detroit service with 76-seat jets. 2016, we hosted the Syracuse International Air Show. This had been the first air show that we had hosted since 2002. Unfortunately, 2 weeks prior to our air show, the Navy Blue Angels suffered a fatality with the loss of one of their pilots. It was such a tragedy, and you know, we decided regardless we were going to have the air show, and we dedicated it to the pilot and his family who lost his life, Captain Jeff Koos. We had a very successful event, and I hope to bring that back to the airport in a few years. JetBlue begins direct service to Fort Lauderdale. You'll notice a pattern here. We have a lot of service to Florida. It's our most popular destination. We signed a 9-year agreement with the airlines. Now, this is really important because it's unheard of in the industry. Most airlines really don't want to commit long-term, but we completely changed our business model. We took a lot of the responsibility away from the airlines, and we took that on ourselves, and we created some financial stability for them, and they were quite pleased with it, and as a result, signed a long-term agreement. We finalized a deal with Syracuse Jet for the new fixed-based operation at the airport. If you've driven down Colonel Eileen Collins Boulevard lately, you'll notice a large white facility under construction. That's the home of our new fixed-based operator. And we also began conceptual design on the terminal improvement project. That resulted in the airport receiving a grant from New York State as part of their Upstate Airport Revitalization Initiative. We also unveiled our new pet therapy program. We have the most amazing dogs who come into the airport several times a week. They interact with passengers. Everyone loves them. It's been proven that the dogs help ease anxiety, and we have a number of dogs in our pet program. So when you have a pet therapy program, you have to have a pet relief room also. We also unveiled our new baby care facilities for parents traveling with young children, give them a private area to be with their children before they board the aircraft. We unveiled our Park Syracuse program, which is a rewards program for parking in the garage or the open lot. And ride share arrives, Uber and Lyft. Now, as we look ahead, 2018, our focus is completing the terminal improvement project by year's end. We have a number of airfield projects, and this is an aerial of the airport, 2,000 acres. It's sometimes, I think, you know, important to talk about the fact that the airport is more than just the terminal building. It is a large campus of buildings and facilities that require our attention, our maintenance, and we're constantly working on improving them. We will unveil our ambassador program later this year. I invite you all to attend our annual meeting on September 7th at the airport. And we'll be making a decision, hopefully, on our plans for the parking garage and rental car facilities. Now a little bit about our organization. The Airport Authority is comprised of 11 members representing the City of Syracuse, Onondaga County, the Town of DeWitt, the East Syracuse Manoa School District, the towns of Salina, Cicero, and Clay. We also have an 8-member regional advisory board. This is a non-voting board, but the members are our conduit to the greater region that we serve. And as you can see, just based on the counties, it extends beyond our Onondaga County. We have our finance, finance, governance, HR, audit, and board development committees. And by the way, all of this information is available on the Airport Authority's website. I invite you all to attend our meetings, to look through our meeting minutes, and to get engaged and involved and learn more about what we're doing. This is our organization, and I have this slide in here because I think it's important to talk about how we are structured, and that structure enables us to ensure that we are responding to the needs of the airport. We have our authority board of directors, obviously the executive director. Then we have a number of other positions that are intended to ensure that we are focusing on what's important for the airport. The different colored boxes just quickly represent who the employer is. And I note this because we are still in the process of transferring approximately 86 city employees to the airport authority. So we have a combination of authority employees, City of Syracuse employees, and we contract out certain services such as legal, IT, and PR support. So a little bit about who does what at the airport. We have a number of divisions. Airfield Operations is one. They are responsible for our federal compliance under Part 139, wildlife management, our de-icing facility, and they ensure the safety of the airfield. Our airfield maintenance, they're probably out right now and plowing the runways and taxiways. Snow removal, ground maintenance, they maintain our fleet. They ensure that airfield lighting is working properly, markings and signage. Our terminal maintenance division is also responsible for snow removal on the sidewalks and the roads leading into the airport, and they ensure that our terminal building is clean, which it is always impeccably clean. They do such an amazing job. We have a trades division. I say they keep us warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Security of the utmost priority is safety of the flying public. We have an aircraft rescue and firefighting division. So similar to your neighborhood fire station, we have our own fire station at the airport. They are trained in dealing with aircraft emergencies, aircraft fires, but they also respond to medical emergencies, alarms, and they are first responders. Our accounting, finance, and human resources division, they handle all of the money. And what you can see is we are a lot like a city. We are a city within the city. We provide all of the services to our tenants that the city provides to its residents. Now, the airlines. The airlines set fares. And I'm going to say that a couple of times. The airlines set fares, schedules, and routes. They check passengers and bags. They help you board the aircraft. They get you to your destination safely, and they are responsible for cancellations and delays. So the airlines set fares. TSA, they screen you and your bags. They also are responsible for compliance and oversight, and they conduct inspections of the airport on a regular basis. And they fund their own operation, by the way. So how do we pay for all of this? Well, we don't levy taxes. We don't receive money from the city of Syracuse or from the county or from the state. We fund our operation solely with the revenue that we generate at the airport. Airline fees, parking, concessions, food and beverage, land leases, and some other smaller sources of revenue. But we truly are a self-sustaining entity. We have a $50 million budget, which allows us to fund the operation, pay for capital improvements, and those revenues help to support salaries and wages, the replacement, repair, and renewal of our facilities, our capital programs, our debt service, and in fact, we pay the city for the services that the city continues to provide to us primarily through the employees who work at the airport. As I said, airlines and TSA, they fund their own operations. I'm going to talk a little bit about the terminal improvement project. I'm sure you've all seen it, and I'm happy to report that it is on schedule, but I just wanted to give you a sense of kind of what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, those of us who work there. So here's what the terminal and the airport looked like before, and here's what it looks like right now. So there's a lot of construction going on in a number of work areas. We have anywhere of up to 200 contractors at any given time working in different work areas, and they're doing it all at an airport that is open 24/7 with passengers coming and going, with employees coming and going. So for me personally, I think that's amazing. And here's another look at the during. But when we're done, this is what we can expect. A modern facility that has amazing design features, including a glass curtain wall, which will be the entire facade, a new canopy. You know, we're really using a lot of glass to bring in a lot of daylight, a lot of sunlight. We removed the concrete overhead canopy that had connected the terminal and the garage, and instead we'll have a canopy that is intended to provide cover when you're dropping someone off or picking someone up. Couple of renderings of the interior. One of our feature pieces will be the New Central New York Aviation History Museum. We're working with Mr. Tripoli and the OHA to design a museum that will represent the history of transportation, not just aviation, but transportation in Central New York. I know he's working on acquiring some really great pieces, and that also will open in October. Right, Greg? Right, Greg? You heard it all here, folks. You're on the hook. But we're constantly making improvements. We're always thinking about how to improve the passenger experience, how to update a facility that was first built in 1962, and over the years, sections were added to allow the facility to grow, to allow the airport to expand. So you'll see in both concourses new flooring and new seating and outlets everywhere. There is no shortage of places to plug in your phone. More improvements. It's really changed the look of the concourses. It's amazing. As I walk through there and just look around, the improvements are incredible. When you have 2 million people fly in and out of your airport every year, the restrooms, it takes a toll on the bathroom. So we're constantly renovating our restrooms. And we're also adding new glass jet bridges. These are the bridges that connect the terminal to the aircraft so that you can board the aircraft and stay out of the elements. And I think you can see a theme here. We like a lot of glass. A couple of photos of the millionaire FBO, the fixed-based operator that I referred to earlier on Colonel Eileen Collins Boulevard. That's scheduled to open, I'm going to say, mid-May. It's a great facility and also represents the first time private dollars have been invested in the airport since 2010. This is an $8 million facility fully funded by Syracuse Jet Real Estate Management. I want to talk a little bit about our customer service program. With all of the construction, the changes in traffic patterns, the closures, we really wanted to make sure that our passengers had access to people who could help them. So we unveiled and rolled out a new customer service program back in March. We have one of our customer service reps right here in the audience, Bill Ryan, wearing his button this morning. He's at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning, helping passengers, directing them to ticket counters, to the checkpoint, and it's made a tremendous difference. People really like having the ability to walk up to someone and ask a question. And we've designed these great buttons, Ask Me, I'm happy to help, so that it's very obvious that you can talk to our customer service agents. What I found interesting about this program is we intended just to roll it out with our own employees. We have about 20 people who are filling the various shifts, but all of a sudden, the other airline employees started asking for the buttons, or the food and beverage employees started asking for the buttons, or TSA. And now you walk around the terminal and everyone has an Ask Me button. So it was really great to see our entire airport community kind of come out and help us ensure that our passengers have a great experience, even during a major construction project. So now I'll get into some fun facts and figures. Who doesn't love charts and pie charts? And this is the work of our CFO, just in case you were wondering. But it's important because we need to track and have metrics and look at patterns and try to figure out where we need to make improvements or just think about how to continue to improve the airport. And our basic metric is how many people are flying in and out of the airport every year. And we average about 2 million people, a little bit, sometimes more. So 2 million people use the airport every year. They fly in and out. Now, some of them are repeat flyers, that much we know. But we can see trends during different times of the year. This is our busiest time of the year. February, March, April, when all the schools take their various breaks, our traffic can go up sometimes double digits. We go into overflow parking. So we see these trends and we can plan for them rather than react to them. The breakdown on the pie charts just shows which the market share for the various airlines, and typically American and Delta are neck and neck, each carrying about a third of the passengers, followed by United, JetBlue, Allegiant, and Air Canada. And soon we'll be able to add the Frontier traffic to our pie charts here. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. We also track aircraft operations. So we tracked people and we track planes. And they include our commercial airlines. We have a military base adjacent to the airport, so we track their operations. We have civilian aircraft that come in. Different military bases will use our airport for what they call touch and goes because of the length of our runway. But you can see that a majority of our activity is with commercial airlines, including our cargo carriers. Concession sales. We track this because this is a major source of revenue for the airport. And prior to 2014, I'm not sure if you can see the sales per enplaned passenger number at $7.76. That's the average spend per passenger. That number was hovering around the $3 mark. By improving concessions, by bringing in new brands, by changing the locations, and having more post-security options, we more than doubled the amount of money that people are spending when they travel. Parking revenue is also another major source of revenue for us, and the trend is obvious that in the winter months, more people want to park in the garage. It's a major source of revenue. We still continue, however, to have some of the lowest parking rates when you compare airports to airports in upstate New York. $12 a day in the garage, $10 a day in the open lot. We also track our aircraft rescue and firefighting operations. As I mentioned earlier, they're responsible for responding to aircraft emergencies, but thankfully that piece of the pie is very small. And instead, most of their trips to the terminal are slips and falls, someone is injured, motor vehicle accident. We also track car rental revenue, another major source of revenue for the airport. We have three families of rental car companies at the airport. They each then have multiple brands. As you can see, the graph is the revenue that they are generating. So that $21 million is what the rental car industry is making with rental car sales here in Syracuse at the airport. I mean, I think that's amazing. And then we receive a portion of that. Ground transportation, this is unique because of the arrival of Uber and Lyft. Prior to Uber and Lyft, the Airport Authority had a contract with a sole taxicab provider. Post Uber and Lyft, we no longer have a contract with that provider. We are tracking the activity to see who's the types of services that we need. We will be unveiling a new program later this month to begin licensing local taxi drivers and to give them permits to operate on airport. They're currently on airport, but we want to manage it a little bit to ensure that they have the best cars with licensed drivers, that they have the proper insurance, that their vehicles are inspected. Uber has about 2/3 of the market, Lyft a little less, but we knew that going in. So if any of you were paying attention to the news yesterday, we had a major announcement with the arrival of Frontier Airlines. This is something that we'd been working on for a number of years, and air service development is a continuous process. But we have not had this type of air service announcement in my 21 years at the airport. To have a new airline come in and serve four cities with the fares that they have, with the reputation that they have, large aircraft, is really you can call it a watershed moment, a historic moment. It is very meaningful, and it will be very impactful to our market and our community and our region. And I checked fares yesterday because I wanted to see what they were, and they are very, very reasonable. When I looked Syracuse-Denver round trip, Syracuse-Raleigh round trip was $96. Syracuse-Denver round trip was $209. Now, there's no guarantee that you're going to find fares that low, but they are known for having some of the lowest fares in the industry. So I guess I'll stop and say this. Air service is really important, and everyone wants low fares with service to a lot of cities. But if we don't support them, if we don't travel, if we don't buy tickets, that's the key. So we've brought it. Now it's up to our region to make sure that they stay here and continue to grow. A little more on air service development. We had a couple of other announcements. 2018 has been a great year for us. We announced direct service to Sanford Airport, which is the other Orlando airport. Allegiant will begin serving that market in May. Earlier this week, we announced Nashville. That is amazing to have direct service to Nashville on Allegiant, which will start later in June. It's for the summer, but we think if it does well, we will continue to see it year after year. Some of our ongoing efforts, well, we can check that box, get a new airline. Mission accomplished. But we're not done. We want direct service to Dallas. We want direct service to Baltimore, to Midway in Chicago, to Fort Myers. People say to me all the time, we need direct service to Fort Myers. I travel there all the time. Southwest has a number. Southwest is based in BWI, Midway, Fort Myers. So when we visit them next Thursday, and to tell them Frontier is here, you know, you might want to jump in while the getting's good. We'll be talking about BWI. We're also looking at our international opportunities. Last year, we had the opportunity to, we were thinking about what makes us different, what makes this region, this community, our airport different. And when we started thinking kind of outside the box, we said, we need international service. We have the fifth largest Irish American population in the United States. I mean, we're in Tipperary Hill. I'm a Callahan by marriage, but that's okay. We have a Bill Ryan in the so there's a lot of interest in direct service to Ireland. So we said, okay, how do we make this happen? Well, the first thing we did was to connect with the managers and the airport directors and the decision makers at the airports in Ireland, in Northern Ireland and the Republic that we were interested in. So that includes Dublin, Shannon, Belfast. We also met with representatives from Cork and Knock Airport as well. We made the connection, we established the relationship, and we said, will you help us? Will you partner with us? Will you promote Syracuse as an opportunity when you're meeting with the airlines? And they said, we will absolutely partner with you. We think this is a great opportunity. And so now begins the process of trying to secure an airline to bring direct service. And our target is Norwegian. Norwegian is an interesting airline. They are one of a number of low-cost European carriers that have ventured into the transatlantic market. They announced service last year at Stewart Airport downstate and Providence Airport in Rhode Island, and they bring low-cost transatlantic service into markets that are not JFK or Newark or the big international hubs because they don't want to deal with the capacity issues or the slot issues or, frankly, the competition with some of the legacy carriers. So they look for opportunities at small and medium markets where they can bring their service into a market and, you know, not have to deal with some of the issues that they face at the larger airports. So we met with Norwegian last year. We made our pitch. We said, we think this is a great opportunity for you. And they didn't laugh at us. So we will continue to work on Norwegian. It took us 8 years to get Frontier. Doesn't mean we're going to stop. We're still talking to Southwest. We meet with every single airline that will take a meeting with us because you never know what will happen. This is a great map. We just updated this yesterday because we now have service, nonstop service to 21 cities, which is amazing. When the airport authority took over the airport, we had service to 15 cities. We've added 6 cities in a short period of time. And trust me, that is a short period of time because it takes a lot of work and effort to secure new air service. And as you can see, our stars are starting to creep westward, which has been our goal. We want more service to the west. And with the addition of Denver, Denver is a destination, but it's also a hub. It will get you and connect you through the Frontier network to any one of the 70 cities that they currently serve. Okay, this is my second to last slide that I've titled let's give them something to talk about, because I bet I will answer every single question that you have for me before you ask it. The exit portals. I continue to get questions about the exit portals. Why do we have them? What is it with these things? They're so weird. Like, no one, I don't see them anywhere else. So I take a step back and I remind people that security is our priority. And automated exit portals are 100% security proof, meaning you don't worry about the human error factor. When you leave the airport, you'll probably see someone sitting there watching you exit. With these exit portals, we eliminate the human error factor. We also can save a little bit of money, but more importantly, we enhance security. Southwest Airlines, well, we're not going to stop pestering them. In fact, we'll be there next Thursday, along with our friend Rob Simpson from Center State, pushing for service. I'll report back on that. Okay, who controls fares? Who sets fares? Very good. Who loses the bags? Thank you. Well, we have a parking garage that was built in 1984, and it needs work. It needs a lot of work. We're not ignoring it. We're focused on completing our terminal project right now, but as soon as that's finished, and hopefully within the next few months, we'll have a clear plan and direction on how to improve the parking garage. We need more space. We need cosmetic improvements. We need improvements on the interior, so it's something that we're working on. I don't want anyone to think that it's being neglected. I threw SkyCap services in because we get more comments now or more complaints from passengers who can't find someone to help them with their bag or help them with, you know, when they're walking through the terminal. And we try to explain to people that the airport authority isn't responsible for providing that level, what the airlines do. It's really on them to ensure that there's someone to help you with your bag, or if you need, if there's an accessibility issue. But as time has gone on and the airlines have walked away from doing that, we realize that we can't just say, well, it's their problem, so, you know, you're on your own. No, instead, we will unveil our customer service program, our ambassador program, and fill the gaps that have been left by the airlines. Ground transportation, I covered it. Again, we have a number of options now, including Uber and Lyft, which is great for our passengers. We've always said we want our passengers to have options, whether that's airlines, restaurants, or ground transportation. Curbside parking, it's an issue with the construction. We have a number of signs directing passengers where to go. It's really important to kind of pay attention to the signs. There's really, when you get to the traffic light, you have one option: turn right, turn left. But if you're paying attention to the signs leading up to the traffic light, shouldn't be an issue. You know, we sometimes get complaints about security screening in TSA, and we have to remind people that TSA, they are the last group between you and a safe flight. You know, they're responsible for ensuring that someone doesn't board the aircraft with the intent to do harm. It's a huge responsibility. It's a big burden that is on them. And, you know, I always thank the TSA officer when I go through security, because I remind myself how important the work that they do is. So please thank your TSA agent the next time you fly. And construction fatigue. Yes, there's a lot of construction going on at the airport. It will be done at the end of October, and when it's finished, we're going to have a beautiful airport. We are the gateway to Central New York. Our visitors should have the best first impression and the best last impression, and that is what we intend to do. So with that, please follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. We have an Instagram page that will be going online in a few months, and if you ever have any questions, visit our website. We have a lot of information there, but thank you.
Thank you for a very thorough presentation. I had two things. One, just a comment. You didn't mention the mini USO that works with services for military travelers. That to me is a real asset to have that in that area.
Very good point.
My question really goes to the airlines set fares. I understand that. But the unbundling, you know, where they're charging extra for this and that, particularly luggage and stuff, with the Allegiant in particular, I have a brother-in-law who travels a lot, and he said he normally pays more for the other things than the fare to make a flight just about any place he goes on Allegiant. Is that a trend that's going to continue and expand? What's your sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, there are essentially two types of carriers. There are the legacy carriers, American, United, Delta. Some would argue Southwest is a legacy carrier. They've been around for more than 30 years. And then there are the low-cost carriers, the Allegiant, Spirits, Frontiers. JetBlue is somewhere in the middle, and they have different business models, and they price things differently, and they have a different brand. With the ultra-low-cost carriers, their fares are set very, very low, and then they charge you extra for certain things, whether it's a checked bag, a carry-on bag, some charge for a seat assignment. If you want to get your seat assignment when you buy your ticket, you're going to pay a little extra for it, but you don't have to. You can wait until you get to the airport, and they will assign your seat for you. So there are two different products that are intended to serve two types of travelers, the business traveler and the leisure traveler.
Hi. When I go through the airport, I notice that there's a lot of white space, and I'm wondering when you're done whether you will be getting art on the walls.
Well, two things. I'm going to answer that question two different ways. Yes, we are part of the city's art advisory committee, and we work with some of our local folks who are involved in that. And we also are saving some of it for terminal advertising, another way for us to generate revenue, but also to incorporate some public service announcements, working with our universities. There, you know, we're trying to balance the need to have a facility that is interesting, has art, but also ensures that we're generating enough revenue to sustain the operation.
You mentioned the Syracuse Jet. Tell us a little bit more about it. And also, do you have, is Allegiant going to go south of St. Pete's, or is it already?
So the Syracuse Jet fixed-based operator is a general aviation facility that provides services to private aircraft. If you are an owner or a fractional owner of a private aircraft, they provide a place to hangar it. They provide fuel. They provide maintenance. They also provide a place for itinerant aircraft coming in to conference rooms, meeting space. It's another type of service that is offered at the airport. There's a commercial aspect to what a fixed-based operator does as well, which is to provide services to the airlines, whether that's fueling or de-icing. Many airlines will outsource the baggage handling to an operation like Syracuse Jet. So that's scheduled to open, as I said, sometime in May, and is another FBO, will be the second fixed-base operator at the airport. We currently have Signature, which is on the general aviation side, closer to the Mattydale side of the terminal. So it'll be good because, again, there's a little bit of competition. General aviation is not our primary market, but we certainly do get a number of private aircraft in, and now they'll have a choice. So it'll be up to Signature and Syracuse Jet to compete for that and hopefully attract more general aviation because of the competitive nature of it.
Question about that. Are drones going to be anywhere involved in this?
Are you referring to the 174th? Or are you referring to the hobbyist drones?
Beyond the military.
Currently, drones are not permitted within 5 miles of an airport. That's the FAA's rule. We are a joint facility with the 174th. They do fly the MQ-9 from our airfield. We were one of the first airports to integrate commercial activity with the remotely piloted aircraft. But as far as drones, They should not be anywhere near the airport. And in fact, we get calls all the time from photographers and other folks who want to use their drone to capture footage in the city or in the outlying areas. And we refer them to the air traffic control tower, and they can coordinate that directly with the FAA.
Hi.
Hi.
This past summer, I ran into an enhanced security check in Warsaw, Poland. Granted, I fit the profile of a terrorist, but I almost missed the plane because they do a very thorough check. There was a long line, and I'm just wondering if pre-check offers any protection against these random security, enhanced security checks in European airports. This is something fairly new.
Short answer is no. Pre-check is only valid for domestic travel in the United States. It does pre-vet you to a certain extent. And what pre-check does is it eliminates some of the additional screening that takes place. You don't have to take your jacket off. You don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to remove your belt. So it does a lot of the vetting in advance, but it is only good for travel in the United States.
Many, many years ago, the airport was a destination for non-flyers. There was a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any thought to utilizing the airport that way?
Well, that's the intent of our new museum, is to attract non-flyers to come out to the airport and learn about the history of transportation in central New York. I know Greg feels the same way. We believe it will attract people to come out. You know, we've had programs like Aviation Camp over the years where we would bring kids out and they would spend the week learning about the airport. So there are other opportunities, but I truly believe that the museum will accomplish that.
The passenger data that you listed, the 2 million travelers, is that in and out?
Yes.
Okay, and then do you have any reference point to, like, 2008, the data that, how has that changed?
It does this. So prior to 9/11, it was going up, and then after 9/11, it dipped again. Traffic leveled off, started to go up around 2004, 2005, when we introduced Transmeridian and Independence Air to the market. And then when the recession hit, they went out of business. So there is definitely a little bit of, you can see the cyclical. A lot of it is dependent on the economy, fuel prices, local jobs. But we do see some trends. And obviously, events like 9/11 had such an impact on not only on aviation, but on the nation that it took a while to recover from that. There were a number of airlines that filed for bankruptcy. Reservation centers, like U.S. Airways reservation centers across the country closed. So it impacted the industry quite hard, and it's taken some time to recover.
Thank you. I had a question because a few years ago, I read an article in a national magazine that Syracuse had one of the most advanced de-icing and procedures like that in the whole Northeast, and it was kind of the go-to airport. So I try to advertise that to people when I meet people, you know, casually, that, you know, oh, I feel so secure when I'm going through triple de-icing, or, you know, and in reverse, you were on it even more. Could you talk some more about how we stand out compared to other airports, both in the Northeast and nationally, both in that way and in terms to Mitch's question about the, or someone else's question about the destination? Because it seems like some other airports have really made it a destination, and the museum and other features, it really could be a nice even more of a nice destination.
Thank you for your question. So we start de-icing sometimes in October. I'm sure aircraft were being de-iced this morning, and we'll continue until usually around mid-May. And what we decided to do in the early 90s is to build a de-icing facility that would allow us to safely de-ice aircraft, capture any of the glycol that we call it the fugitive glycol, collect it in one of four lagoons, and treat it in a way that we are being considerate of the environment, because we can go through sometimes, you know, millions of gallons of de-icing fluid in any given season. And we work with the county to then release that fugitive glycol once it's been properly treated. And we also, we do something different that a lot of airports don't do, which is we don't allow aircraft to be de-iced at the gate because we don't want that, the glycol, we want to ensure that we are capturing the glycol that isn't, that doesn't remain on the aircraft. So we have one of three designated areas where aircraft are permitted to de-ice. We work closely with the New York State DEC to ensure that we're in compliance because, you know, we are considerate and think about our impact as an airport on the environment, whether it's de-icing or noise. And as far as the destination, you know, I refer to the airport as a gateway to Central New York, and I think in addition to attracting people to the airport, we have to remind ourselves that our location in New York State, in the center of upstate New York, gives people access to anywhere that they want to go, really, whether it's Niagara Falls, the Adirondacks, Saratoga Springs. I mean, we are really ideally located to be that gateway to anywhere in upstate New York. So in addition to being a destination and at the airport, we have to start thinking about how can we attract more tourism to upstate New York. And I think we can be successful in doing that. And that was part of our pitch to Norwegian. It would be great to have direct service to Ireland, but how about we start bringing people here so they can see all the great things that we have to offer in upstate New York?
Well, with that in mind, too, I was wondering, what opportunities are there for people to develop more charter opportunities going from here to go elsewhere? Like, it's always very disturbing how expensive it is to fly to Washington, D.C. from here, unless you get an advance fare. And it's such a quick flight. Like, they do it for the veterans, I know. They go down for the day. They spend the day there. They come back. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow that's been done cost-effectively because it's a volunteer support activity. What other opportunities are there in the community to get people to get out, especially to go to the nation's capital? I'm amazed how many people in this area have never been to Washington, D.C. It's kind of shocking. And it's really very economical when you get there compared to New York City.
So you mentioned Honor Flight, which is a great program that brings our vets to Washington, D.C. so they can visit the monuments. And the next Honor Flight mission actually is scheduled to go out in April, and we'll be helping them with that. You know, as far as the charters, we see a lot of charters going to places like Atlantic City or sometimes the Caribbean and Mexico, and they're typically generated or it's the universities during spring break that are working to get those charters. Sometimes we see them during the various basketball season or football season. You know, our focus is on the commercial air service development, not on the charter side of things, but it's certainly something that we can take a look at in the future and, you know, work with our partners to see if there are opportunities like the one you mentioned to Washington, D.C.
The pre-check.
Yes, sir.
I've observed a couple of times that the line was longer for pre-check than it was for the regular security. Is that going to be a problem at some point as pre-check becomes more popular?
That might be a good problem to have. It may be longer, but it also goes more quickly because there are fewer steps to the screening process when you're in the pre-check lane. TSA does a very good job monitoring the length of time it takes people to get through the checkpoint because they have to report that data, and they are also, if they exceed what's kind of the standard for our airport, they get a not too nice email from Washington, D.C. that, you know, we had a 20-minute wait rather than a 13-minute wait. So as traffic grows, if there is a need to expand services like PreCheck by adding a second lane, it's absolutely something that we will do working with our partners at TSA.
Staying on pre-check, going back to Diana's question, I understand it's not pre-check, but there's something similar for international travelers, which I thought you got through TSA. I haven't checked it myself.
No, there is the program, and it escapes me now, that allows an expedited customs and immigration screening when you return to the United States. And I don't know why it escapes me at the moment. And if you enroll in that, thank you, Global Entry. If you enroll in Global Entry, you automatically get the TSA pre-check screening as well. But Global Entry is designed to expedite the the process coming back into the United States. And when we don't have that in Syracuse, our only international destination is Toronto. And when you're traveling into Toronto, you pre-clear customs and immigration in Toronto before you come into the United States.
This was an absolutely wonderful presentation, Christina. Thank you so much. Thank you.